Hello and welcome in.
First Science.
Because he shows them the magic and mystery of science in everyday living.
On Science Mixtape on Soho Radio. Well, good morning. You're listening to Science Mixtape with me, Matilda Hay. And this week, we're going a little rapstract for you as we welcome scientist and rapper Alex Lethbridge to the show. Good morning, Alex.
Hello. That was a horrible pun, but I love it.
I'm just stealing your YouTube name.
I mean, I like it because it's a horrible pun, but when I hear someone else saying, I'm like,
That's a horrible pun.
That's a horrible pun.
Well, I love horrible puns, so there you go. Now, I wanted to ask you straight off. To many people, science and rap seem like complete polar opposites. Arguably, science is very numerical and it's all kind of hypotheses, experiments and data. And rap is all about rhythm and words and rhyme. So it's completely different skill set, I would say. But I know that you think they've actually got more in common than meets the eye.
Oh, yeah. I think it's the type of front, the facade that both parties put on. Like, rap puts on the front of being all rhythmic, whereas, you know, in the background, you've got real skills, you know. People spend all these hours crafting, working on their craft. Science, the same thing. People put out these papers that are all numbers and facts and figures. But behind it, there's a lot of emotion. People get tied up in their work. You know, you look at someone's peer review, you know, you'll see very angry reviews, angry remarks, angry notes. So there's real emotion there.
And
so,
I guess there's like also quite big egos in science.
Oh yeah, there are huge egos in science. There are huge egos in rap. I like to play this game with myself called Scientist or Rapper. And I flick through Wikipedia pages and just sort of various people. And I think, if this person were a rapper, would they, you know, is this person going to be a scientist or is this person going to be a rapper? You know, this person, for instance, who goes to a lecture and drops their trousers. Was that Kanye West or was that the guy that invented Viagra? Who knows?
Oh my God, I love it. What a great game. Mm. Yeah, you should start that. I love science and I love rhymes. So I am really excited about this show. For anyone listening, coming up, Alex will be doing a live performance of one of his raps. And for our experiment, he'll be teaching me all about the science of beatboxing. So if you want to join in at home, get your mouth ready. And I know that sounds kind of weird, but there we go. I've said it. Sorry. I also want to add that I don't really have high hopes for my freestyling potential. So this is really going to be quite experimental.
Oh, I have super high hopes. It's going to be great.
You missed my rhyme already.
I'll get it later. Don't worry.
And stay tuned because later in the show, we will be playing a world premiere of Alex's latest rap, brand spanking new for your ears only. Yeah. But as always, we want to hear from you. So we have our weekly brain teaser. I've gone very tenuous here and I've just made it one that's kind of a wordplay. So it sounds more like a cryptic crossword clue than anything else. But here we go. I'm a word that's hardly there. Take away my start and I'm a herbal flair. What am I? If you think you know the answer, you can tweet us at Science Mixtape or at Soho Radio. Alex, you're looking quite confused.
I've heard that. I have no idea what it is. Herbal flair, what could it be?
Well, we've got a whole hour to think. And while people ponder at home, what is the first song that we are going to be playing?
We are going to be playing Diddy Bop by No Name. She's this amazing sort of spoken word rapper from the US, and she's just got this lovely flow that makes me feel good about things when I'm doing spreadsheets and I'm in the lab. So I thought, what better way to start off Saturday than with her?
Mama said she loved us. When the lights was off, we had to stay with cousins. Granny at the BBQ with 50 as husband. Summertime, city lights, shot town, my town, my town. After school matters like I'm needing a stipend right now. Kindercut parking lot, got caught with the blunt like wow, wow. Run, run, run. Mama's take him home before the street lights do. Ice cream on my front porch in my new FUBU and my A1s too. Watching my happy block, my whole neighborhood hit the diddy bop.
This is my growing out my clothes. With stars in my pocket, dreaming about making my hood glow. This sound like every place I would go if I could fly.
Let's travel back, rewind the centuries, because what we know now wasn't always elementary. Like genetics, from Mendel we learnt that lesson. Hereditary traits, make for physical expression.
And that was producer Louise behind the desk today. Thank you, Lou. So instead of our usual facts, Louise is going to be bringing you sections of Alex's amazing rap that sums up the history of science. So it's jam-packed full of facts already. Alex, that was one of your first raps, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What inspired you to write it? Was it just like a personal challenge or?
Yeah, like I was talking about that scientist or rapper game. If you just press random enough times on Wikipedia, you eventually get to sort of weird categorical articles. And I ended up on the entire history of like scientific discoveries on Wikipedia. And I was like, there's a challenge there. So I'm like flicking through all of them thinking, okay, what are some really interesting science to rap? And I found sort of really interesting science facts that weren't really things I'd learned about, like Golden Age of Islam.
Yeah,
so really cool things like that. And how like quite a lot of Muslim scholars had their names changed to be more Hellenic or more Latin when their discoveries got pushed through into Europe. And I was like, that's really cool.
Wait, Hellenic, you mean like
sort of Greek? Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's really, really cool.
I never knew that either.
Yeah. Like this guy, Averroes, he did quite a lot of work in early physics. I wouldn't be able to name his name in sort of Arabic. But I was like, oh, that sounds like just a normal Greek dude. Oh, no, that dude's from sort of North Africa. That's cool. Wow. Wow. Yeah,
that like when you go through the whole history, there's actually a lot there that a lot of it you do sort of cover in your GCSE science at school, but then a lot was
really sort of glossed over.
So being a rapper who raps about science or a science rapper, that's quite a niche specialty.
Yes.
How did you get into that?
You know how quite a lot of rappers are generally really cool and like just really like,
I mean, you're oozing cool right
I'm
now.
Honestly not. I'm the least cool person ever. And then you realize you've got to own it. Like when I started off at uni, there was sort of like me and just like a couple of other black dudes on my course, on my biochemistry course. And when the university finally got sort of Wi-Fi in our lecture theatres, I started sending him these really like just stupid puns, like in rap battle format based on the lectures, like the slides that was like coming up. So like one of them was sort of like, I'm hitting you so hard that you can't even stand it. I'll leave you stuttering like a fool, call you Okazaki fragments, you know, in reference to like the DNA replication, sort of the leading strand and lagging strand and those little fragments that get pushed together.
Wow, that's... And yeah, pretty
I sort of see him opposite me just sort of crease up laughing, either from, you know, genuine humor or like pitying me. And I just kept rolling with it and sort of I'm here now.
So it's born out of, you know, those almost like at school when you pass notes in class.
Yeah. But... Oh, yeah. But instead, it's through the internet, the wonders of the internet.
And have you always been like... found rhymes come really naturally to you, or is it something you've had to work at?
No, like I find rhymes come really, really naturally to me, sort of almost pathologically, but they don't always make sense. And so it's sort of working on those rhymes and getting them to make sense in context, and then working on this sort of field of sort of just science, and then getting things to make sense in sort of, you could just rhyme jargon for the sake of jargon, but getting them to make sense and then pushing them into actual sort of pop culture references, that's where it gets really fun.
And you can be quite creative.
Yeah, really creative, and seeing like, oh, what kind of metaphors can I make? Oh, people understand that. Oh, that's, you know, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, because even in the science of history rap, so when I was going through picking out which bits to be the facts, it was interesting because you sort of give one mention to each scientist or each discovery, and it's interesting like what you chose. The one that springs to mind is you say DNA, data that was jacked. So rather than explaining what DNA was, you're talking about the controversy around it and the kind of how science works and women in science and all of that. I just thought that was, it's just really interesting kind of looking at it as you made it. And I also find that, like, I'll always remember that. Like, rhymes just stick in your head. Like, you remember song lyrics so easily.
Yeah, like, it's, like, I can't remember off the top of my head, but I knew some scientists did some work on looking into sort of earworms and why they stick in your head. I thought, oh, man, that's really, really fascinating, the idea that, you know, songs help you remember things. Like, growing up, I'd be able to remember lots of, like, loads of songs, loads of lyrics. And, you know, even if you don't remember the entire song, just hearing that beat in the club, or, you know, when you're listening to it, you're like, oh, I remember the next bit. Oh, I remember the next bit. And so that's why I really just enjoy doing sort of what I do, because I can make facts and put them with rhymes and sort of music, and it's fun.
And make them memorable to other people.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, I do it for me. It's just, it's so much fun.
Yeah, I could see that, definitely. So you are going to perform your rap for us, Imposter Syndrome.
Yeah, oh God, yeah.
Would you like to tell us a little bit about it?
Imposter syndrome is what every person in life feels when they get to a point where they sort of start thinking, am I good enough to be here? Am I, should I be here? Should I really be a scientist? Should I really be doing a PhD? Am I even good as a rapper? Am I just a novelty act?
For all the thoughts in your head.
All the thoughts in my head all of the time. So I thought I might just write a silly little verse.
It's pretty good. I've heard it already. Now, what do you need? Anything? You ready to go?
We could just, I could just slip into it.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird because you guys have got me here and you're sort of talking about the science and hip hop. And I mix science and hip hop, and some people can say it's kind of whack. I mix craft and fact, and everyone else, they think it's insanely whack. But I could spit a human genome like Craig Venter raps. Adding science to the hip-hop, I invented that. No, wait, I embellished that. But just remember that. I'm here raising the bar. That's high-pressure facts. I'm just a computational urologist. I call that P-hacks. Even nanochemists will tell you I'm blacker than Vanter Black. So we thought that Vanter Black is this really cool substance. It's like the blackest material ever.
Oh, wait, is that in the news? I remember it being scientists discovered a new black.
Blacker than black.
Yeah.
Which is the best rap lyric ever. do you remember what it stands for, though? That's sort of this nanochemist thing. So it stands for vertically aligned nanotuberase. I'm like the crew in the ISS. I've got bars for days. I'm like water into ice. That's a change of phase. I get a call from the BBC. We need a change of face. You could be like David Attenborough meets Reggie Yates, but appease the demographic. So change your pace. The middle class like hip hop, changing chase. But next to Professor Elemental and all the rest, you're second place.
Literally, when you went into it, me and Lou just looked at each other and we're like, whoa, he started. Oh my God. Cosmos Prize. That was so smooth.
Thank you.
Brilliant. And all the little jokes and references you've got in there. It's so, so good.
Yeah, that's it. Just those subtle jokes. Subtle jokes that make people think and go, oh.
Yeah. And David Attenborough meets Reggie Yates. What a combo.
Yeah, that's essentially what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for, the call to come to say, Alex, we need you for every single science television program. And so I can say no.
And as we wait for that day, what song will we be listening to next?
We are going to be listening to one of my favourite songs, Man Don't Care by JME. I love this track. It's just so hype. It gets me so hyped in the lab. When you're pipetting, it's what you need. It's a hype track.
Into my HSBC, talk about banks, kill him with peas, run up in your girl's house with two of my G's, get the money out, put the money in his mouth, then suffocate man with about 2 G's, suffocate man with about 4 G's, suffocate man, then I might just breathe, I'll bury man 2 foot shallow, ain't got time to dig 6 feet deep. These MCs and rappers wanna chat about their syllables and their multis and their similes and all that shit. Then I come through with my ABC. Yeah. Girls and man are like Jamie's deep. Better pictures when they see me on street. Old school rude boy like Crazy T. Woo. All you man don't want it with me. I'm a bad rude boy, bad boy MC. Say my name, JME. Nostradamus couldn't see me. Yeah. Expelliarmus couldn't stop me. What? How can a man with a uni degree be bossing up mic and chatting his grief? Yeah. Cause the music originated and will always remain in the streets.
What up? Yeah. Man don't care about all that. They're blotting now. Man don't care about all that. Who's not allowed? Man don't care about all that.
Research always strives to push the edge of possibilities. St. Cloud's camera, eclipse visibility. Occam found his razor, logical simplicity. Copernicus, correct with that heliocentricity. Sorry, I'm giving up.
Copernicus, correct, with that heliocentricity.
Do not even sweat it, because I struggled on that so many. It's so difficult.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm not a rapper.
Don't worry.
It's funnier this way.
I know, it is funnier this way.
Just shows how impressive the big words are when you bring them all together.
Oh, yeah. That's what the sciencey big words are for. That's why they pay me the big bucks.
Yeah. King of the science big words.
Love it. Okay. Anyone listening at home, it's now time for our beatboxing challenge, experiment. I'm not quite sure what to call it. It's a bit of both. I'm ready. Alex, I'm at your mercy.
Okay. So beatboxing. Can you beatbox at all?
No.
A little bit?
No. I can make one noise. Right. I can make that.
Okay. So beatboxing is really interesting because they've got this idea that lots of different societies sort of use sort of these vocal noises, that the vocal noises that we make, it's only really contemporary cultures that we've looked at, oh, beatboxing is an art form. And scientists have actually, in the past, they've put sort of beatboxers under an MRI to take a look at what actually happens during that, sort of when they're making these noises.
Wow.
Yeah, I know, it's really cool. Like, I actually had to go away and study this because, like, I've never looked at it from sort of an academic perspective.
Like,
I've
the biology of it.
No, I've always just, it's been something that I just sort of picked up on and tried to emulate, like sort of a parrot.
Did you teach yourself?
Yeah, it was, it was Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, watching that as a kid and seeing Will Smith rap. So a lot of the rap, like when I try and beatbox, I always default back to like the stuff he does. You notice he does like very specific rap in his beatbox in his films or like TV shows. It's and that's it's quite cool. So when we think about beatboxing, we're going to think about these. I'm going to talk just about three sort of noises, just for time. We've got that sort of which is sort of like a kick, like sort of kick drum, someone kicking kick drum. You've got that noise, which is sort of like a closed hi-hat.
Yes.
And then you've got this like noise,
uh-huh,
which is sort of like hitting a rim of a snare.
Rim of the drum.
Yeah. And so we're going to try and get you like rapping. We're going to try and get you beatboxing on that. So can you say boots and cats? Because that's what everyone starts with.
Really? Okay.
Boots and cats.
Boots and cats.
Yeah. So what you're trying to do really now is you want to focus on pushing out air, like with like really enunciate boots and cats and boots
and cats and
boots and cats and boots and cats and boots and cats. So really hit that B, like the hard K and the T. Really want to focus your tongue.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't even aware that I was doing.
Yeah, you got it. Just got, yeah. Okay. So it's like boots and cats and boots and cats. Give it a try.
Boots and cats.
Yeah, exactly. So it takes a lot of time. Like, it's really difficult, really, really difficult. But when these scientists looked at the beatboxers under the MRI, they found with the K noise, what they called it was, I want to get this right, they called it a pulmonar aggressive velar affricate.
Sounds scary.
I know, right? But all it really means is when you're making that k noise, what you're doing is you're starting with your tongue, just normal, your air's coming out, in, out, and then you push your tongue to the sort of top of that soft palate in your mouth.
And the soft palate's the bit right at the back.
So that's what you're going to do. And then you want to continue pushing air, sort of you're building that up behind your tongue. Imagine a potato being pushed in a windpipe, in a car's exhaust pipe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like that. And so it's building up the pressure, and then it pushes out, so... And it's how you modulate that.
I sounded almost like you.
Yeah, exactly. So how you modulate that is just it's sort of just the amount of air you can push in through your mouth, sort of how quick you let it go, that affects the sound. And it's really fascinating. Yeah, there you go. There you go. So you keep trying at that and you'll get like better and better and better. And that is essentially one aspect of the science of beatboxing.
Oh my God, I love it.
Yeah.
Thank you. So now I can do a... And it's...
Yeah, there we go. So, let's try. All right. Think of saying words like, yeah, there we go. Just keep, like, really pushing at that. Yeah.
For listeners at home, I'm, like, moving my whole body as I do this.
Yeah, like, she's
chest pumping going on.
Like, she's really going at it. I love it.
Like, I've definitely not got any air of cool about it. It's like...
it's like an angry chicken. But like what I was trying to is like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, so Zaphod Beeblebrox beep beep that noise, So what I'd love to do with this is maybe try me beatboxing and you freestyle rhyming.
Oh, okay,
about sciencey words.
Well, I already. You know, tried in my intro, and as you said, it was all about my delivery.
It's all about delivery.
I think we can work on that.
We can work on that. Okay. All right. I can throw out some sciencey words to you.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's start. Okay. Something we can both start with. Mitochondria.
Mitochondria.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Let's try.
Wait. I'm going to go for an easier one. mitochondria, they are found inside a cell, not living down at the bottom of a well. When you know what they do, you'll think it's pretty swell, because they can make energy.
That's dope. All right. That's okay.
I promise I didn't write that down or anything. Like, literally, that was a challenge set just now.
Okay. All right. Let's do you want to try beatboxing?
I'm going to try the beatbox.
I'll try with mitochondria. Okay.
So I do with
just,
the hands.
Just that you can do it with the hands. I like the hands because it means I don't get spit on your lovely microphone.
Okay.
But yeah. Go for it.
I was just going to say boots and cats.
Okay.
Boots and cats. Boots and cats.
Okay, mitochondria. We're not talking about the Golgi. Mitochondria, you are the OG. It's mitochondria. You're the cell's powerhouse. Formulates your function. Nothing weird about you. There's membrane folds. You've got phosphotactics. You're generating power like you're stuck in the matrix. You've got your own DNA. It's passed maternally. You juggle ATP. You do that eternally. Every single day, we try not to die. So take a die to a try and back like 300 times. And thanks to proteins and protons, electrons, it's like Kendrick says, look out for redox.
That was brilliant.
Thank you. Yeah, and that's just, yeah, it's really difficult.
it's did that literally just come out of you?
Yeah, sometimes.
Wow. Yeah. And now Alex, when we did our pre-production phone call, specifically said, do not ask me to freestyle.
No, it's because when my brain gets, when I get lost in things, I end up sort of, there are words you default to, and the words I default to aren't safe for radio. That's the thing. Okay, I think you deserve another word, because your last one was good. I think you can do it even better.
Okay.
I think this time your producer, lovely producer, she needs to throw out a sciencey word, any sciencey word.
Any sciencey word. Oh, that's tough. How about
heliocentricity?
I said it!
Oh, dope! Okay.
Heliocentricity. Okay. Heliocentricity is an ancient theory where the sun is in the center and the planets go around. Heliocentricity, people didn't like it first. They thought it was blasphemy. When they found I started so well.
Oh, that's really good. I love it.
I think my delivery was spot on and my rhyming was off.
Yeah, okay. Oh, man. Oh. She did it so good. I need a new word. She did it too good. I need
it's true. Oh. Photosynthesis.
Okay. Photosynthesis is the principle. This, that's not even a word, Alex. Why are you rhyming? You can't rhyme better than this. Oh, wait, you need to make a switch. Get onto a different flow. Like ATP that comes out of a place. Oh, he's forgotten where he's going with this. This is difficult. Nah, I've got nothing. See, that's how, like, it's difficult. The first
one literally, it was almost like you'd pre-written it.
And then the second one, just horrendous. Just, that's how difficult it is. Sometimes rhymes come, sometimes they don't. And it's sort of, that's why I keep sort of a notebook and my phone and lots of things around me in case a rhyme comes. You want to write it down very quickly. Mm. And yeah, it's, I have real respect for anyone that can just freestyle off the top of the dome just all the time.
Yeah.
Because it's so difficult.
I look back on 8 Mile, which I watched and didn't appreciate, and now I'm like, wow, those rap battles were incredible.
Oh yeah.
What are we gonna do for your next song?
Oh, for the next song, it is going to be one of the lovely lyricists that I love in UK hip hop, Akala and Shakespeare. And he talks about all the differences and actually really the similarities between hip hop and English literature.
I kick that illa shit, it's like Shakespeare with a nigga twist. Lyricist done the best on the road, natural flow, oh so cold, I'ma blow yo. Keep the hoes, I only want dough homes, nobody close, I'm alone in my own zone. No love for the popo. Loco when I rock my solo. I hope that you know where you don't go though. Want it with bolo, must be Coco. It's William back from the dead, but I rap out gats and I'm black instead. It's Shakespeare reincarnated, except I spit flows and strip hoes naked. No faking, test my blood, bruv. It's William just back as a tug, cuz so real the shit I kick now. Plus I don't write, I recite my
my shit now. Correct. Shake from the top, expert timing. On top of that, now the whole thing's rhyming. No more tights, now jeans sagging. If I say so myself, I'm much more handsome. Don't ever compare me to rappers, I'm so quick-witted that I split them like fractions. My shit, I tell them like this, it's like Shakespeare with a nigga twist.
I get you pumped up, feeling like you drunk, drunk. When my beats bump, bump, lyrics hit like stung, blunt.
Kepler brought us in laws of planetary motion. Galileo's work, it was starry devotion. Newton found out that white light was a spectrum. Leeuwenhoek mastered microbial detection.
Well, hey!
Yeah.
That's another one. I'd never heard of Leeuwenhoek at school.
Yeah, I remember with Leeuwenhoek, he was, I'm pretty sure he was the guy that decided, oh man, what could be, what could these tiny things be? I'm going to check my sperm. Let's check sperm. I think that was him. I think that was him. You can quote me on that. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was Leeuwenhoek, Antoine van Leeuwenhoek. Yeah, he decided.
That's brilliant.
Yep. That's what science does. And you're saying, you know, science isn't full of weird people and emotion. That is not an entirely logical thing. That's an
Actually, I can imagine Kanye West doing that. He's like, what is this great white thing I produce? It must be amazing. I'm going to check it out.
Exactly. Classic Kanye.
Now, Alex, we've met you, the rapper.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk now about you, the scientist.
Hooray!
Because you're doing a PhD, aren't you?
I hope so.
Well, last I heard, you were.
I hope so, yeah.
I shouldn't have made that a question. You're doing a PhD.
Yes.
What is it? Tell us about it.
So I look at ways to inhibit sort of this interaction that is linked to cancer. So we're looking at how when these two sort of peptides, they come together, they can form these transcription factors. So transcription factors.
Just for anyone listening, sorry, what is a peptide?
So a peptide is, if you think of a protein as being this massive long string of amino acids all curled up into lots of different things, a peptide is just a far shorter, the stuff I look at is about 35 amino acids in length.
It's like a very short protein.
Just really, yeah, super short. And so it can form very simple structures. And so when these two very simple structures, sort of these two alpha helices come together, they can form this cord coil. And this cord coil can have a purpose as a transcription factor, which is something that binds to DNA and then starts the process of making a protein from sort of RNA.
Yeah. Helps those proteins be expressed.
Yeah, and some transcription factors, the stuff I'm looking at, they are implicated in certain cancer pathways. So I'm looking at ways of using what we know with of sort of amino acid biochemistry to use sort of computer algorithms to build synthetic peptides that we can potentially use to stop bad things from happening in the transcription factor pathway.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to unpack that a little bit. So you're using a computer algorithm to build a peptide.
Yeah.
How does that work? Because a computer algorithm to me is kind of like code.
Yeah.
And then, but a peptide is a real thing in the lab. And you talked before about pipetting.
Mm.
So how do those two match up? How do they work together?
So we've got this computational code. And so stuff I'm working on. And it says, oh, okay, you want to make a peptide that's complementary to this target, this one half of the transcription factor that might be bad. Okay, that's cool. You can do that. But remember, there are other transcription factors. There are other peptides in the cell that could form a cord coil. So you've got to make sure that the stuff that you're building won't attach to those. And so we've got sort of lots of scoring mechanisms and matrices. And we can say, okay, if we put a leucine there, it'll that's one amino acid. That'll target this leucine on our target. Mm. Oh, but it won't hit the valine on the other. On this the one that we don't want to target. Yes, very good. And we go all the way down.
So you're kind of almost like modeling what will happen when you put different amino acids in your
and
fake protein.
It's so cool.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's honestly, it's so cool. It's like, it's. I think it's the future, this sort of mix between biology and computational work. And it's like, you know, when you're in the lab, you can get a bit, this daily slog. But when I sort of take a step back, I think, oh my God, this is brilliant.
That's so true. You're sort of, what you're describing to me is that you're using like code and models to kind of check and predict and then build things to go in our body to cure cancer.
Yeah.
Like,
well, then, yeah. And you know, these transcription factors, they can also be implicated in other diseases. And, you know, there's so many things that we don't know about them. And it's such a novel mechanism, this idea of peptide therapeutics, because most drugs now are built on small molecules. So moving into that, it's just, it's so cool. And to me, it, it, it's just it's amazing, man.
Yeah, like right back at the kind of fundamentals of biology, I suppose.
Yeah, and even if you get a wrong, like for me, what I love about it, isn't it, even if something you build, okay, you might think, oh, this is going to be super stable, and actually it isn't, and I haven't cured cancer, rats. You know, you've still got more data, and then you can plug that back into your computer code, and it gets a bit smarter. And you're like, oh my God, this is incredible. I literally can't lose.
So like every time, in a kind of trial and error way, every time you find something and it's not what you expected, that makes your algorithm
a bit better.
A bit better.
Yeah.
Wow. Do you have a preference? Like, do you find you're more naturally like into the coding or more naturally into the lab stuff? Or is it like really you love the balance?
I really like the balance. And I've got a really cool supervisor who doesn't let me get just stuck on one thing. If I'm doing too much coding, it's like, okay, lab now.
lab time for you,
yeah,
my boy.
Yeah, yeah, it's essentially lab now. And if there's too much lab work, it's okay, we need to build up some computational things. And it's like, it's really about who you have around you and types of people you have around you. That's
so true. I think every job is people that you're working with.
And so I'm super lucky in that way. And I'm not just saying that on the off chance that he's listening to this. And it's like, why weren't you in the lab on the weekend?
Well, it's because you're also doing your other stuff, right?
Yeah.
You said before that actually you found rapping was quite a good antidote to your PhD.
Because in the first half of my PhD, I was just doing pure computational work, just getting everything off the ground. And you know, everyone in my write-up room between these two labs, they're all doing their lab stuff and they all make fun of me and they all start bullying me a bit, like, oh, Alex, oh, you're not really a scientist. Oh, you don't really get into the lab. Oh,
this is where your imposter syndrome came from.
Like, oh, your lab coat is so white. And I was like, mate, we're in Bath. Do you want to know what else is so white? But, and from that, I was like, okay, yeah, these guys, I just, screw all these haters. I started listening to Kanye West, and Kanye's Yeezus album is one of the best albums to listen to while you're angrily doing spreadsheets. It makes spreadsheets. Like, have you ever written an Excel macro while listening to just black skinhead? It's like, dun, 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 dun. Yeah, yeah. Oh, take this data. Yeah, this data's going to be amazing if no one likes it. Oh, yeah, it's angry Kanye coding is the best. It's the best thing.
Going back to what you were saying before about similarities between science and rap, would you say like it's almost the coding as well is quite similar to constructing a rap?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes yes. Like you look at it and you wonder how you got there. Like I can get to a song and you can work on different bits. I can get to the end. I can listen to it. And I say, okay, this works. It sounds bad, but it works. And so by the end of it, when you're coding, sort of same thing. I might say, oh, this works just about. It takes 2 hours to run, but it works. So I'm thinking, yeah, there are similarities there. Mm. And it's all a science.
Well, we're going to play one of your songs that I feel is a bit inspired by your PhD.
Yeah, it is. It is off that Yeezus album. It's Kanye West, Blood on the Leaves. And I love this because
I didn't mean your next song choice.
Oh, God, no.
I was going to do a little sample of your rap.
My rap.
Replicate.
Replicate.
About cancer? I know.
What?
Did you see that segue?
Oh, my God. That was flawless. I ruined it.
Don't worry. Here, listeners, I'm just probably going to play the first half because we're getting a little short of time. But you can go check out the whole thing on the Rapstrack YouTube channel. Here it is, Replicate by Kendrick. Not by Kendrick Lamar.
By me.
By Alex Lavridge.
By me.
Cells shouldn't divide like this. Our cancer acts so ludicrous. Cell cycle checks adapt to miss. Immortal, no apoptosis. Mutations mean you can't evict. The cells are spread so populous. Expansion is their only wish. So they replicate, 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 replicate. Cells shouldn't divide like this. Your cycles to regulate this. But cancer gives checkpoints a miss. Growth limits broke, it's so amiss. Expansion is their only wish. So they replicate, 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 replicate. Division, it's ordered well. We got brakes and accelerators to control the cells. And well, they can be the issue. Genetic alteration, it can lead to misuse. Multiple mutations, redundancies fail. No heavy limitation on that single cell. Pedal to the floor, and when the brakes are gone, they replicate, 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 replicate.
Just a little taster for you there. And now, on to what you are doing, which is your next song choice.
My next song choice. Sorry, I jumped in way too early just because it makes me so happy and so sad. It is Blood on the Leaves, Kanye West.
We could have been somebody. Thought you'd be different about it. Now I know you're not it. So let's get on with it. We could have been somebody. Said you had to tell somebody. Let's take it back to the first party. When you tried your first smile, it came out of your body.
Our first cancer cells come from Henrietta Lacks, DNA helix, data that was jacked, A cubed and B cubed, that's the theory of Fermat. Dolly a sheep means that clones are a fact.
Science.
News.
News just in. Dutch trains run on 100% windmill power.
Moon Express secures $20 million in funding with aims of being first private entity to travel to the moon.
An analysis of 10,000 scientific studies on marijuana concretely supports only 3 medical benefits.
Spiciness may help you live longer.
Soft robot helps the heartbeat.
The world's primates faces an extinction crisis with 60% of species now threatened with extinction.
Oh, some quite varied news stories this week. Alex, I'm super intrigued. What is this soft robot?
Yeah, so researchers have found this soft robot they've invented. So it allows the heart to beat. So hearts that have been damaged through sort of just regular heart damage, instead of sort of in previously we've had sort of pacemakers that have tried to replace hearts or robots that have come into contact with blood, this soft robot just goes around the heart, uses charge, and sort of mimics the heart in the way it shifts and turns to help it pump. Just help, gives it a helping hand, like a bionic hand.
Ah, yeah, just like helps giving it a little squeeze.
Yeah, just gives it a little squeeze. It helps it, so helping people sort of get better with heart disease. And they've tested it on pork, on sort of pigs right now, but the hope is to put it into humans. I think that's super cool.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, I love it. A similarly uplifting story, I saw this one about the Dutch trains. This is Netherlands smashing their targets and being amazing, as the Dutch always are. So they were set to run entirely on renewable energy by 2018. And actually, since the 1st of January this year, all their trains, all their public transport trains, have been powered by renewable energy from wind power. They have 2,200 wind turbines across the country. And this can sustain the equivalent of 2.4 million homes, but it's also sustaining their train network. And yeah, I just think they're setting such an example to the rest of the world. Like, they've completely cut the carbon footprint of that whole sector. And yeah, I tweeted it being like, come on, British Rail.
Oh my God.
get on board.
Like, Southern Rail can't even get trains here on time. Like,
let alone power them properly.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Lou, tell us about this primate one.
So obviously we lost a lot of good people in 2016, but unfortunately 2017 may be the year that we lose a lot of our favourite animals. So basically there's been a global study involving more than 30 scientists, and they've assessed the conservation status of more than 500 individual species of primate, and they've seen that 75% of the population are declining. Obviously, extinction of animals isn't new news, but I do definitely still think it's something really important that we should always be thinking about.
Mm.
And I mean, ways that we can obviously help out are just to, just in general, just, you know, thinking more about these sort of things, like the impact that we're having on the planet and the impact we're having on the animal species.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More Dutch trains.
More Dutch trains.
I think more Dutch trains would probably save these monkeys, you know. Who knows?
I've got this idea of a really angry orangutan with a bionic heart just driving these trains. I feel like we're living in the worst timeline.
That's the best image ever.
Just because you said orangutan, now in my head it's Trump.
Oh.
All right, lower the tone, moving on. spiciness may help you live longer. This is not necessarily new. It's just the first time there's been a proper study looking at it. Like, there's always been thoughts that spiciness might be good for your health. So this is a longitudinal study that's been following 16,000 people for 23 years. And they found out that eating lots of hot red chili peppers lowers your risk of death, primarily through heart disease. So this is a link.
Yeah.
By 13%. But then they also found out that, as well as being like having a reduced risk of death, people who ate a lot of spice were younger, male, white, Mexican-American, married, smoked cigarettes, and consumed more vegetables. So I don't know. There's a lot of stuff.
It's a perfect study. It's a perfect study. That's a nature paper right there. Bam.
Moon Express.
Yeah.
Will we all be taking trips to the moon soon?
I really hope so, because like the moon seems like the best place to build some sort of lunar fortress. It's in the name Luna. But this company, yeah, they've secured funding and they want to, in 2017 and you know, further on, first send up a robot and then just start, they want to start mining the moon. That's their thing.
Wow.
Yeah. But the idea that, you know, we could take commercialized flights to the moon.
Be like, hey, yeah, should we go for our honeymoon to the moon?
Oh, nice one, Matilda.
That was horrible.
Turn it into a rap.
No, she doesn't deserve it. No, but it's... Oh, God, that was actually pretty good. No, but the idea, like, you know, you could take an Uber one day and just go somewhere in space between Earth and the moon.
Space Uber.
Yeah, space Uber.
God, I know, because
Dubai already has helicopter Uber.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Only in Dubai.
Yeah, only in Dubai. So pretty soon we're going to have space Uber. It's going to make nights out interesting.
Oops, I got the wrong way and I didn't get off at the end of the line and I've ended up on the moon. Sorry.
Sea of tranquility, lol.
Feeling like I need some oxygen. After all of that wonderful array of news stories, what is your fifth song?
My fifth song is Can't Be Arsed by Damble. He's a wonderful independent rapper in the UK, and sometimes we all feel like we can't be arsed.
Call me any nasty word, bum slobs like a nerd. I can't be asked to come up with a comeback you haven't heard. Can't be asked to do my tax return, I've got cash to burn. And I can't be asked to invest the stacks I've earned. Can't be asked to jack and verse with you, I'm taciturn. Can't be asked to drive a car because I have to learn. Can't be asked to press the gas, I kinda like the backseat. Thank God for Uber, cause I can't be asked to call a taxi to take the rubbish out. I'd have to pick it up and put it down. And my brown wheelie bin's got a funny smell. Simple daily stuff is a battle to grapple with tasks that should be natural, too much of a hassle. I'm stuck in a shackled, every killer duel I physically exert strenuous. Just point me to where the dessert menu is. Can't be asked to hit the kitchen, not moving out to see what food I'll have to eat. Pot noodle naturally. Can't be asked to feed the cat, little needy twat. Don't wanna peel a pack and pour it, can't you deal with that? Effort, effort.
Never think of science like a flawless operation, because we're always improving. We call that innovation. On past data, new work is reliant, and the view is pretty good on the shoulders of giants.
I love that. That was such a nice ending. Because it's true. Like, we learn. We spend like years in school learning all the past knowledge before us before we can go and find new things out. Which I think is, yeah, it's good to always remember that. We're coming to the end of the show. We will be premiering your latest song.
Ooh.
But before that, I just wanted to ask you a bit more about, because I just kind of find it fascinating, like your inspiration and your process when it comes to choosing what you're going to write about and how you write about them.
Like, a lot of it comes from, just general love of science, like curiosity and like, people, this is interesting. I want other people to find this interesting. And just jealousy of, like, I'll see a paper that's got like, you know, it's been published in Nature, super high impact factor, and it's about something super lame. I'm like, I wish my paper could get published in Nature. So it's love and jealousy, and those are very strong emotions. And I love the idea that turning something pure and sort of factual into something sort of a bit crude and funny is a really lovely way to remember things. Mm. That's how I remember all my things. That's why I love people like Amateur Transplants.
I used to listen to them back in the day. Yeah, like, they're so clever.
Yeah, like when I first started listening to them, I was like, 13, 14, after sort of London Underground went big. And then their albums are just all about like medical things. And to me, I was like, oh my God, that's brilliant. And they've got one track like Paracetamoxy, Fruzy Bender, and Neomycin that I can remember all the words to now, like, you know, 10 years later. And I think that's brilliant.
Yeah, because that's like the supercalifragilistics of pharmacology.
Yeah, and I thought, wow, that's honestly brilliant. They've got all these rhymes and, you know, they're real doctors talking real things. And that's, you know, I want to be like that and just keep making funny things like that, you know, for all ages. especially 18 plus, because then you get to have the most fun.
Yes, indeed. So for your next, this latest song, what was the inspiration? Was this born out of love or was it born out of jealousy?
This was born out of weird, like a bit of both, because this song is about the internet and about sort of big data with healthcare. And you know, I work on community, I work on sort of data with computational things. And so when I make a mistake, sometimes I might think, oh, I've done it, I've cracked cancer. But then it turns out I obviously haven't. But when big companies like, you know, WebMD or 23andMe make a mistake, it's life altering.
Yeah, absolutely. If they tell you you've got a genetic mutation that you don't actually have.
Yeah, yeah. Like that happened to one guy. He thought he had a genetic mutation. They told him he had a genetic mutation from 23andMe. Turns out he actually just was a carrier on two separate genes, and the code had just shifted that to those two profiles together, and bam, he's got this recessive gene for limb girdle muscular dystrophy. And I thought, wow, that's just a bug in a code, but that's someone's life. And that's why 23andMe are no longer FDA approved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh, I can totally get that. It turns your world upside down.
Completely.
You've got like a mental disease. So this is about
WebMD, the place that always tells me whenever I say, oh, I've got a sniffly nose, you've got cancer, and 23andMe.
Round one. So this round is called Diagnosis Murdered. As we all know, the internet is full of dangerous sites that encourage people to self-diagnose, and it's easy to get carried away. To see how afflicted with hypochondria our teams are, I'm going to test their knowledge of esoteric diseases to see how far down the rabbit's well they are. Rabbit's well?
Yes.
Rabbit's well. That's
no, I think it's good news. You're right.
Wake up with a headache and I wonder what I got. My eyes are feeling puffy and my nasal passage clogs. I go to WebMD. The place to be is like TV tropes, but for illness validity. And I type my symptoms in the AI does its antics. It's probably hay fever use, allergy tactics. But maybe it goes deeper, a sign of something drastic. I could be pre-leukemic and myeloid spastic. I could be anemic, or maybe I'm a plastic, or maybe hemophilic. Man, that wouldn't be fantastic. It could be psoriasis, poor theory. I'm risking cause
I get really painful skin redness and blisters.
Going zero to the cancer man real quick. Yeah, real quick. I must be sick cause WebMD got me there in three clicks. Three clicks, it sounds legit. Going zero to the cancer man real quick. Yeah, real quick. I must be sick cause WebMD's got me there in three clicks. It's three clicks, it must be legit. Oh damn, I could try to be reasonable, but I'm taking it as gospel, no concerns if it's feasible. Wait, I can see a doctor and check if it's seasonal, or I can search the net and see if it's treatable. I'm still kinda empty, old tab from WebMD and open up a search, I'm just tactile venting. Oh that's interesting, human genome testing for 99 quid scan, start to end thing. Oh shit, that's exactly what I need, cause I know I got more SNPs than the SNP. I get my data back, small print that I see. Your data might be erroneous cause Africans aren't key. Useless data bias, what can I say? I guess it's a lesson cause this tech is early days. Wait, a grey button? What does it say? Plus 1% tumor risk, BRCA. Going zero to that cancer man real quick. Yeah, real quick, I must be sick. Cause 23andMe say I got some risks.
The worst risks.
They're real risks, you know what, click. Going zero to that cancer man real quick.
You mean quickly?
Real quick, I must be sick. Cause WebMD got me there in three clicks. It's three clicks, three clicks, I must be sick.
What have I got? Oh, and my urine leaves blue stains behind.
Blue stains?
Blue?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, sounds kind of fun.
That was brilliant. Oh, that was so fantastic. And that, I think, really speaks to anyone who's ever woken up in the middle of the night and Googled their symptoms.
Yeah, never do it.
I once convinced myself that I was maybe having a heart attack when I was having palpitations. Yeah. And I think of myself as quite sciencey and like shouldn't fall into those traps. But yeah, no. WebMD is it's a minefield.
Full on internet hypochondria.
So thank you so much, Alex, for coming on.
That's all right. Thanks
I wish
for
we had longer
me.
To talk, but
it's cool.
Yeah, it's been inspirational, and I'm gonna have these raps going around my head all day. I'm gonna carry on practicing my beatboxing.
Yeah.
And I wanted to say what you were saying earlier about it being crude and memorable. And when I used to teach all the time, I would play songs and raps from YouTube whenever I found a relevant one.
Like
it really does help, I think, give another dimension to what you're learning.
Mm.
Have you got any advice for any other budding science rappers out there?
Please don't do it. I need as much attention on me as possible. But if you are going to do it, like, do it well and just be real. Like, you're nerdy. Own that.
Yeah, bring your swag to the nerd.
Bring your swag to it. That's all you can do.
And finally, what are we playing out on?
We are playing out on my favourite Amateur Transplant song, King of the Dead.
You wake up one morning and your girlfriend is dead.
The answer to the brain teaser was parsley. Sparsely, without the S, becomes parsley, the herbal flair. The end.
Somebody phones you, your parents are dead. You call your brother, but he is dead. Almost everybody's dead. And you've had a bad day. Everyone's dead. Everyone's dead. Now you are the king. Everyone's dead. You've had a bad day.
For more Science Mixtape, you can find our shows on Audioboom, iTunes, or any other podcast provider. Or join us live every Saturday at 10 a.m. on Soho Radio, recently voted the best online radio station in the world. Science.